Good morning.
Morning.
I've always wanted to be on the A-team. It's good to be home. Looks like there's still quite a few traveling. Lana and I got to spend our first Christmas without our two children, which was interesting. Everything went really well until we ate dinner Christmas night. And we sat at a little bitty table for two. And that was tough. So, started off, we went to Lake Tahoe. Started off, we didn't even take our ski stuff because it was supposed to be 40s and raining the whole time we were going to be there. And started off that way. And then started snowing Christmas Eve and proceeded to snow 5 feet between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So we kind of wish we had skis at that point, but we were wondering if we were going to make it home. But I was texting back and forth with Bruce Dennis, who's going to be preaching next week, and he heard about the snowstorm that was going to hit, and he wanted to make sure we were going to be back. And I said, well, I just hope I don't. It was one of the interesting facts. I'd never been to that area before. It's kind of where the Donner Party was at. And so I was making some jokes with Bruce on the text about the Donner Party, and you know, we might get stranded. And he said, I'll come dig you out. And I said, all right. So I let him off the hook the other, I guess that was Friday evening, and told him, guess, good news, we made it out. And he said, good. So we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. One of the most fascinating things I learned this morning during class is that Jason still considers himself a young man. In kind of this transition to old man. And there's really no, like, there's no transition. You just wake up one day and you're there. But, you know, as I was thinking about that this morning, man, Logan and Caleb and Asher, appreciate you guys stepping up to this microphone. What a blessing it is to see young men standing up here and being participants in the worship service. So thank you guys. Appreciate your thoughts this morning, Logan, as well, for communion. We're going to be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. This is a great book, and it's been challenging to me, convicting to me, even though I've studied it before, I've even taught it before. It's a good reminder to go back through it again and be reminded of some things that oftentimes we just kind of push out with life. If you remember prior to last week, the previous 2 weeks we spent in Romans chapter 5, which was a very, to me, one of the more fascinating chapters in all of Romans. But then Romans 6 starts with a question. And again, as I have kind of tried to present this message, is Paul articulating this from a legal standpoint. Kind of think about being in a courtroom. He's anticipating the questions that might come up. He's been pushing this idea over chapter 4 and chapter 5 that coming to Christ and being considered sanctified through his blood, it's a gift. It was freely given. And man, we just super struggle with, is anybody in here over the age of 18 like getting gifts? How about if it's just like, ooh, we did not, like, whoa, that was way bigger of a gift than, like, has anybody ever gotten a gift and been like, ooh, that's too big? It's a couple people. Everybody else is like, nope, never got that one, right? How many of y'all love to give gifts? Man, a lot more hands. I mean, that's kind of how we're wired a little bit. We love to give, and we love to see the reaction of somebody's face. Man, I used to love, and I still do. Lana can't surprise me with the gift because I get a notification every time she uses the credit card. And so she's like frustrated all the time. But I have the opportunities, not every year. All right, guys, I'm not trying to set you up to fail. Not every year, but there's some years I can get my wife a gift and surprise her. And it takes some work, Jason. You'll figure that out as you get older. But in that, it's such a blessing to see them kind of react to that gift. And it's a little overwhelming possibly some years. And it's just like, man, unexpected, undeserved. How many of y'all have ever gotten a gift that you felt like was undeserved? And man, those are the ones that are kind of hard to take. Right? And so Paul has been making this case through the last several chapters of the book of Romans, saying, man, this gift, it's a gift. You didn't have to earn it. You didn't have to buy it. You didn't even have to deserve it. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 5, it says, while you were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And so he makes this huge premise of salvation is a gift that you cannot earn. And man, we don't like that. Anybody in here like that? We kind of want to earn our keep a little bit, don't we? If you're anything like me, if you get something, you want to know that you deserved it. Like that you worked for it, or that maybe I was a really good husband this year and Solana was super thoughtful, or maybe I was a good dad and so my boys didn't give me just a gift card. They really thought out of something to give me. But the reality is we struggle immensely getting something we don't deserve. And so we struggle with this idea that Paul has been talking about through chapter 4 and chapter 5 because we're just not wired that way. But we don't know how to receive something that's undeserved. And grace, let's be honest, is undeserved. I mean, that's what Romans 5 tells us. That it's undeserved. And so Paul in chapter 6 is going to address the question that would come up after his presentation through chapter 4 and chapter 5. Well, if it's a gift and we don't have to do anything for it, then how about I just take the gift and just live life however I choose to live life? So chapter 6, verse 1, it says, well, what shall we say then? This is him being rhetorical with this question. Are we to continue to sin, to continue in sin that grace may abound? If this thing is free and it's given to me freely, what's going to stop me from just keep living in sin? Because it's just going to keep coming. I didn't deserve it in the first place, so I'll never deserve it. And so Paul is trying to address this question. And I love, man, this is the chapter, right? This is a pivotal chapter in this book. And it's pivotal because it's going to make some connections that I think sometimes we struggle with. In verse 2, he says, by no means. He's answering his own question. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Well, what do you mean? And so Paul is trying to get his readers here in the church in Rome to understand that, listen, if you die to something, how can you continue to live in it? I mean, if we're going to die to sin, then shouldn't we die to it? Notice it said if you died, not dying. If you're dying to sin, sometimes that's what we like to do. It's like... Like I started riding my Peloton bike again. Gonna be honest with you, don't like it, not even a little bit. And it was, man, once you stop doing something right, it's really hard to start doing something again. But the reality is, sometimes we think that our relationship with Christ is this, let me just stick my toe in. Have you ever done that? Lana and I went to the spa in Tahoe where we were at. And so they had this jacuzzi, steam room. And I love that stuff. Right? Anybody else like steam rooms? Only a couple people. Jacuzzis, man, they're comfortable. They're nice. And then they have this thing. You walk in and it's a shower, but it's actually got a chain on it. Right? And the guy's like, man, you got to do that after you get all in the steam room, and then you got to do this. It's cold water. I was like, that doesn't sound fun at all. But he said I should do that, right? And so, man, I've been sitting in the jacuzzi for about 10 minutes. I walk in, I look up, and I'm holding this chain going, do I really want to do this? And I thought, wow. It took my breath away. The water was so cold, and I didn't, and it's so cold that I couldn't let go. It's like if you ever touched an outlet that you weren't supposed to touch or crossed wires or something, and the electricity just kind of holds you there and you don't know how to let go. That's kind of how it was. I was pulling the chain and I was so cold I couldn't let go of the chain, and so the water just kept coming. And it was just, it reminded me of this text as I'm sitting there freezing to death, because the reality is, you know, I've done cold plunges. Anybody done a cold plunge before? Got a couple hands, right? And man, that's way easier a little bit, because you kind of stick a toe in, right? And you're like, that's cold. But I'm going to just ease into this thing. And that's kind of sometimes how we do our Christian life. It's like, I'm going to try this Jesus thing on for a little while. Let me just try them on, see how it fits, see how it feels, see how people react to me. I'm just going to ease right into it. I'm going to start trying to stop doing this a little bit and maybe do less of this and more of this. And we kind of have this idea that we're taking Jesus on my own terms. Because see, that's oftentimes what we like doing, because that's us in control. I want to take Jesus on, but I want to do it my way. I want to do it his way. That's where we struggle with it being a gift. Because a gift is like, you either accept it or you don't. You either embrace it or you don't. You know, Kyle and Liv, our oldest son, were going to come home last month for Thanksgiving, and Kyle was going to buy a different truck from us and had contemplated just trading his in to me or selling it in Lubbock. And like the day before they're going to come, he's like, "Hey, Dad, I have my truck sold." I'm like, "Oh, good." He said, "Can you fly us home?" I was like, "Oh, let me check. Yep, I can." So he sells his truck. They get to the airport, walk in, and realize that they're seated in first class. Now, what a gift that was, right? Of course, what they didn't realize is only two seats left on the plane. But they could have said, "No, I can't take it. I can't accept that." Well, that would have meant not coming. And sometimes, and we were getting pictures of them sitting in first class, you know, Liv was like, "Man, this is awesome." And I'm like, "Yeah, this is awesome." Yeah. But the reality is, so oftentimes in our lives, we just want to ease into something. And what Paul is saying, either you died to it, died, not dying, or you're still living it. Now, the most beautiful part of this text, and I've presented this different ways. You guys may have even heard some of this, but this is where we're at in the text. So if this isn't the first time you've heard some of this from me, fake it, pretend like it is. Let's read. "By no means, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that..." Oh, I want to stop right there. "In order that..." And man, this is the part we're good at. We're good at falling on our sword, aren't we? I mean, it's like... don't show your hands, because I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning. But guys, have you ever just done something that was super stupid with your wife? And yeah, God, somebody couldn't help it. They're like, I'm just going to go ahead and own that, right? And you just come around to this realization, wow, that was stupid. And you go and you kind of walk up. And you're like, "Man, I'm sorry. I watched a thing on TV while Lana and I were out of town. I don't think she was in the room when I watched it." It was kind of a fascinating. Some of y'all may have seen it. I think it was on a major news broadcast about it was kind of a Christmas story to a degree. But one man had tried to murder this other man. Were you in there? Did you see that? She's like, "No, I did not see that." And he was caught right away. They said that the trial was the shortest trial in history. It was like an hour of deliberation by the jury. Found the guy guilty, sentenced him to X amount of years. And the story was about these two men and how one who was in prison and had come face to face with the realities of what he had done. And they were interviewing him, and he said, being sorry sometimes isn't enough, but owning your errors is. You can be sorry, but until you have accountability for what you've done and taking accountability for what you've done, Sometimes that makes all the difference. But the story is about these two men and how they became friends. And ultimately, this man's out of prison now, and these two are best friends. The one who tried to kill the other through an act of grace and an act of kindness. But the reality is, sometimes I think in church, sometimes as Christians, we get into this cycle of life where we know we shouldn't be doing this. We know this isn't right. Logan, you kind of referenced that a little bit this morning in your talk for the Lord's Supper about, you know, I know better than this, but yet I still struggle with this. And we get in this cycle of life where it's just like, man, I'm just going to keep dying to this and keep dying to this and keep dying to this and keep trying to force myself to do different, do better. Anybody else like that besides me? Where you just wake up and it's like, January 1st is coming. We can try it again. Yeah. Right? That's because we've become professional dyers. It's because we've missed the power. I was thinking about this morning. You guys tired of stories yet? I'm giving a lot this morning, I know. Lana and I and the boys, man, brand new boat, go out on the lake. It's like in April to go fishing. The boys were younger. Man, we're catching fish. We're having fun. We're way back into Lahara Canyon. We put the boat in Arbeliz. And so we stay a little bit later than we should fishing. So right as it's getting dark, we pull up stakes. We're headed back to the marina in Arbeliz. And we get just through the S-curves coming back, still miles away from Arbeliz. And the overheat, the temperature shoots up on the boat, and I shut it off. That's weird. So I turned on the trolling motor, and we kind of keep moving at a mile, 1.5 miles per hour towards the marina. And I start the boat back up and run for a minute, and then it overheats again, shut it off. Well, then it won't even start now. And then the battery runs dead on the trolling motor. We have one oar, big boat, Lan and I, and two young boys. And we're stuck. What I would have given to be in a different boat right then. Because the reality is, sometimes that's our life. We'll go as far as we can on our own strength, on our own power, and then we might revert to a different power source and then go a little bit further. And then we still find ourselves in the exact same place. Just bobbing up and down in life. And it's oftentimes on a Christian walk that we find ourselves just bobbing up and down and just existing because we haven't come in contact with the power. We haven't come in contact with the power that God has given us. We have not embraced what God has given us, the greatest gift that you will ever get. It's not in the dying. It's in the living. It's in the resurrection. Let me say that again. It's in the resurrection. We're buried there, for verse 4, with him by baptism into death, in order that, there's a purpose for this. We died. It's a one-time event. We're going to die to who we were. We're going to die to the sin that has taken over our lives. But in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Man, if that doesn't put a smile on your face, the power is in the resurrection. He's saying, listen, die. Die to this who you used to be and live in who I am. Come up ready to live. See, so oftentimes I think we get in this cycle as Christians where we just keep dying because we keep failing. And when we fail, we feel like we have to die again and die again. And it's because so many times in our life we've not embraced the totality of who Jesus is and not started figuring out that he chooses us to live in him. I love the story of Lazarus and Lazarus being dead for 3 days and Jesus coming and calling him out of the tomb. And picture this, if you will. And Lazarus coming up out of the tomb. I want you to see what Jesus does. I mean, he's giving his disciples a message there that I am not just Lord over life. I'm Lord over death. And he's kind of teaching in this moment, and he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, and Lazarus comes out, and he's wrapped in his death garments, and he said, take that stuff off. Quit dying and start living. If you're not dead, take off the death garments. If you have died to who you were, you washed off the death garments of this life. But too often times in our lives, we're not putting Jesus on. We're taking off the death garments only to put them back on again. And what Paul is trying to get us to see here is if you're going to die to something, die to it. Take off those death garments. He tells Lazarus, take off those clothes, man. You're not dead. You're alive. This morning, my prayer for each of us is that you take off the death garments. Paul is encouraging you to quit dying over and over and start living, because in him there is life. In the resurrection, we are not just bound to the death that buried who we formerly were. There's got to be more to it. And the more is, he has brought us up to live. And if you're not living, you're dying. We as Christians have got to start learning how to live with uncertainties, with doubt. One of the most fascinating scriptures in all of the Bible is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. Turn there if you would. Jesus has died, he's been buried, he's been resurrected. He's been hanging out as the resurrected Christ for nearly 40 days. We hear this section as the Great Commission. And it is a Great Commission. Jesus calling his disciples to preach, to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. But right before that, right before Jesus goes into this Great Commission, we have this verse that just stands out to me. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. The resurrected Jesus. And I think sometimes we find ourselves in that place. And I love this verse because this verse helps us to understand that worship and doubt can coexist. Man, it's hard. Isn't it hard to wrap your brain around all this? And I mean, if we're just logical thinkers, it's hard for us to just pinpoint all this. And my challenge for us is that faith is something that we find that's undeniable. And it helps set the table for the things that are indescribable. My faith is that Jesus Christ took my sins to his grave. And death had no hold on him. 3 days later, Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And I believe in my faith, and what's undeniable to me is he's called me into that. He's called me into burying myself with him in his death, but he's also called me to be resurrected with him in his life. I may not have it all figured out. I may have doubts at times in my life. These people had witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and yet they still had some doubts. Because it's hard to wrap your consciousness around some of the ideas that involve Jesus. And that's okay. But my challenge for us is get out of the grave. I've baptized several people in my life. I've never held them under until they died. Not one. A couple thought about it. But not one time. So take the whole picture of baptism. The burial, and not just the burial, but the rising up from it. And being called to live. Being called to be alive. Being called to be different. Because you know now the life that you live in Jesus Christ doesn't have the same bondage of the former life that you lived. Because you buried that one. And you're walking anew. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, I hope you've caught my excitement in this chapter. It's good. We'll finish chapter 6 here in a couple weeks. Actually, it's interestingly enough, I have no idea what he's going to do with it. But Bruce is going to be in Romans 6:18. Next week. No idea what he's going to do with that. So I left it alone. But this morning I want to challenge you with it, especially as we're coming in, you know, we just celebrated the birth of Christ and we're coming into a new year. And my prayer for this church is, man, if you died, let it go. Take the death garments off and start living. Christ has called us to live. We are eternal beings living in this physical existence. Our eternity started a long time ago, and it will continue on. And this is just a short respite in that eternity. Quit dying and start living. Take off the death garments. You're being called out of the grave by Jesus Christ. If there's anything that we could do for you this morning,